Later this morning, as we heard, Governor Ducey will sign legislation that will dramatically change gaming or gambling in Arizona. The state's tribal entities will have the opportunity to expand what games they offer, and plans are already in the works to build additional casinos. And visitors will be able to bet on sporting events in those casinos. The state is hoping for hundreds of millions of dollars in new revenue. Arguments against the expansion have been either silent or limited, a far cry from decades ago when even the creation of a lottery was seen as something that was immoral and could hurt society. So what changed? My co-host Steve Goldstein asked UNLV's David Schwartz, a gaming historian.
Yeah, and I think the lottery was a big part of it. As we had more and more states adopt lotteries, it was harder for states to argue against it on moral grounds because their citizens could just go over the state lines and buy lottery tickets. And once the state is running a lottery and basically telling people, buy lottery tickets, gamble, it's hard to argue that the state should then tell you, well, it's okay to buy lottery tickets, it's not okay to bet on sports.
Now, there are some people who would cynically say, well, it's because you get to a point of a state needs more money, needs more revenue, and money usually wins out. Is that too cynical?
I don't think so. That certainly is borne out by the history of gambling legalization, where many states do it, frankly, for financial reasons. They don't do it for morality reasons. They don't do it because, hey, it's a lot of fun to bet on sports and people should be able to do it legally. They do it because they want to plug a budget hole. So yeah, I think money definitely factors into it.
How big a role did organized crime play in gambling and in gaming? And is that going to be, have we seen that basically be lessened? And are we going to see that even less so as more and more states expand?
Well, going back to the 19th century, when gambling was illegal in most places, organized crime had a huge role because by definition, gambling was organized and it was legal. So it was a crime. You know, you did see a lot of folks who were involved with Prohibition move into gambling after Prohibition ended. And some of them ultimately ended up in Las Vegas, where they went more or less legit running casinos. You know, that generation obviously isn't with us anymore, so organized crime isn't involved directly in owning casinos. If you look at things like sports betting, organized crime has been involved with that in the past, but it's more on the money lending side and more on the, you know, basically financial services side, if you want to call it that, rather than actually picking winners and losers.
To what extent do you think Las Vegas, Visitors and Convention Authority, marketing, et cetera, contribute to this in the sense that, you know, it's almost like, well, we all like to have a good time every once in a while. So, you know, what's wrong with letting your hair down a little bit? How much of that mastery impacted the rest of the country?
I think Las Vegas did have a big impact on the rest of the country because they showed that you could have casinos in a city and the city could grow and it wouldn't be completely dysfunctional. And I think that's one of the things that led to other states adopting it. You know, certainly when New Jersey approved casinos for Atlantic City in 1976, they were specifically looking at Las Vegas and saying, we want to replicate that kind of growth for a tourist destination. And I think other cities have looked at it to some extent too.
Do you think other states having these opportunities is going to actually put a real dent in Las Vegas? Or is Las Vegas established in a way that it offers so many other things that it won't? Or is Las Vegas going to have to innovate in some ways? Is it already doing that?
Well, I think Las Vegas has been facing that kind of competition for gambling since the 80s, and they've done okay. But it's worth saying that Las Vegas really isn't mostly about the gambling anymore. You know, since 1999, the big casinos in the Strip have made more money from non-gambling stuff, from the hotel rooms, from the meals, from the shows, than they have from gambling itself. And you've seen as gambling has grown around the country, it hasn't grown quite as quickly in Vegas, but the revenue, the money that they make from other areas has grown quite a bit more.
Let me ask you, as we moved forward with technology, and that includes where, you know, a lot of younger people are used to seeing DraftKings or whatever it is on an app on their phone, does that change the attitude generally of how gambling and gaming are seen?
I think having things in phones does make it more accessible, but I think in some ways for sports betting at least, this might be a bit of a throwback where it used to be people doing it in person and now they're doing it mediated with technology. So I think it's an evolution and I think it can make it more accessible in a lot of cases.
We know how baby boomers and Gen Xers generally feel about gaming. Let's say with normal March Madness, maybe a bunch of them would go to Vegas to watch the games and, you know, bet on the Final Four and that sort of thing. How do you anticipate that changing with millennials, Gen Zs, that sort of thing?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to be predicated on how much money they have. So if they're not making as much money as the baby boomers did, they're not going to have as much discretionary income. You know, that being said, they could just have a totally different attitude towards it. It could become much more common. It's not like back in 1970 when, you know, making a trip for Vegas, to Vegas was something you could save for and plan for, you know, and you would gamble there. Now, pretty much people have a lot more opportunities to gamble, so they can make it a part of their everyday life if they want.
Conversing with a colleague earlier today, and we were wondering about just the mainstream aspect of gaming, as we're going to see more of it in our arenas and in our stadiums. And his example was marijuana, that marijuana was one of those things that was considered to be, you know, if we go back many, many years, like reefer madness, but now it just seems like part of the mainstream. Do you see that gaming is more and more becoming part of just sort of something that almost everybody can do? And if they do it, really no judging?
I think it is. I think if you look at the National Football League's attitudes towards gambling and towards Las Vegas, you can see that evolution happen. You know, it was maybe 10 years ago that Las Vegas Visitors and Convention, or Convention of Visitors Authority, wanted to buy an ad during the Super Bowl, and the league said no. And the ad wouldn't have mentioned gambling, just would have said, come to Las Vegas. And, you know, now there's an NFL team in Las Vegas. The teams of the league are very comfortable partnering with gambling operators, so they've done a complete 180. So I think you see a lot of cases of that.
And does that feel like a natural evolution to you?
I wouldn't say it's natural. It's definitely an evolution. You can see society becoming more open to gambling than it was once before. It's becoming much more mainstream.